with Jan and Joanne, who've been working together on their Threads of Time project this year. Can we start by hearing a bit about both of you and how you came to be working together?
Yeah, my name's Jan, and Joanne and I work quite closely together on lots of things, and she invited me along to this project with her. As an abstract artist, I wasn't really sure how I was going to fit in and what I was going to be able to do for my project. But I am very interested in paint and the process of paint. And during the course of one of the visits here, I started to think about how they would have painted in that time and how they would have made paint. So I mentioned that to Joanne, who, funnily enough, was also thinking along the lines but using it more as dyeing material. So that's how it all began.
Hi, Joanne, do you want to introduce yourself?
So, I'm Joanne, and what I'm really interested in is natural materials and natural dyes. I do a lot of work with that. And also, in the past, I've done a lot of weaving. And so I started thinking I might quite like to do some weaving because I haven't done it for a while. So when I was looking through the records, I was particularly interested in the Radcliffe when they were in the Levant company importing all sorts of materials. And I thought, natural dye stuffs probably came, a lot of them, from abroad. So alongside that, I'd also been thinking in the past about how I might be able to use natural dyes on paper. So when Jan said to me she was thinking about paint, it sort of came together, and we thought we might explore that possibility at the same time.
I see. Okay, so now you've created separate pieces, though. So, Dan, do you want to describe your piece and say a bit about how that developed?
Yes, with my piece, I was very interested in the wills that we saw, the writing on them in particular, and the way that they were set out. And then Joanne and I made a visit to the Hitchin Priory, and I took some photographs of the windows there in the Tudor section. And so I was looking to think how I could bring those together, and I made a solar print of the window and then looked at how I could transfer that image and the image of the wheels onto some sort of cloth or material. And I was lucky enough to buy a piece of calico here that's used in the archives here. So that really was the starting point for me.
Can I ask what a solar print is?
It's a print that you take the photograph. It sounds really weird. You take the photograph and you then transfer it onto a metal plate using special machinery, which sort of raises it up. And you submit it to a special light, like a sunlight, artificial light or a sunlight, and it turns it into a raised plate. And then you print on it, and then you put ink over it, and then you print from that ink onto paper, or in this case, on straight onto the calico. So it's because you still end up with the same image, but you've gone through a different process with it. It's not just a question of the photograph going on. You've gone through all this images, and I was very happy with the result.
Great. And what about your piece? How did that come about?
So, yes, so having decided that I was going to weave, I then started looking at all the natural dyes that would have been available at that time, and set about, because obviously I'm almost already used to dyeing, and I was dyeing on wool and cotton because obviously we're looking at getting natural and what would have been available at the time. So I started producing a range of colours using the dyes that I had available that would have then been relevant to the time. So I ended up with this treasure trove of lots of different dyed balls of wool and cotton, which is actually a delight in itself. And I'm still thinking to myself, how am I going to translate that into my final piece? So I started by thinking about the journey that the dyes had made from the far and near east, and in fact from Europe, onto the Silk Route, and you know, through Turkey, etc., Syria, to Aleppo, where they were the Radcliffes were using as their base to bring across to London. So my first piece then, so I thought about colours that would represent that, the spices and the sand and the sea. And so my first piece came about by that, following that route. So I sorted my colours that I had into this you know, so journey. Yeah. Yes.
And there are three panels.
So then my second and third panel were really inspired by the visit to Hitchin Priory. And while we sat having our afternoon tea, because that was necessary, looking at the interior colours and also thinking about the gardens and also thinking about Bridget's book about the gardens. And again, those things, the interiors and the decoration and the plants were imported by the Levant route. So I ended up with two other pieces, one which was based on 17th century interior decor, and I also researched outside the project somebody who's producing those traditional paint colours now, and he had some lovely, lovely paint cards, so they were good. And then looking at the gardens and looking at what plants would have been in the garden, and also another thing, a seed merchant that's producing traditional seeds and making the colours from those. And making them into journeys as well.
And the actual making of the panels, how did you actually, were you weaving on a loom, on an old-fashioned loom, or how did you actually make it?
Yes, I worked on a rigid heddle loom, which is quite a basic loom, and I only did traditional in-out weaving, tabby, because it wasn't really the texture of that that I was interested in, although there was texture in the wool and the cotton, which produced a nice result. So I made a warp of, dyed a warp of a neutral colour so that it wouldn't interfere too much with the dyes that I'd done, and just made a really, really long warp and wound it onto my basic loom, and then just having organised my walls into the process, the order that I wanted, just started really and did it instinctively, how much I would do of each, just how I felt really.
So how do you join from one colour to the other? Because it's invisible, obviously, from
yes.
the front.
Some of them, I think in some of them there were more definite steps than others. So I think in the Levant, I just stopped weaving one colour and then tucked the end back in and started weaving another colour. And then the next one, I had a mixture of that and overlapping, so alternating the colours, which gave me a more subtle join. But the final one, I did the whole thing because I felt that was, the garden was more likely to blend in to one another, so each join was blended there.
I see. Right, and so back to Dan, were there any particular sort of tricky challenges along the way, or interesting surprises or discoveries? I mean, you were really experimenting and trying out all sorts of things. Did you find out anything new along the way?
Well, we spent quite a few weeks actually experimenting, making the paint, doing that process. So it was every Wednesday for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. We were like little witches with our cauldrons.
This is in
Joanne's little kitchen, little special kitchen that she has. And then we would add certain things to the liquid that we had to see what happened. And it was very interesting because I was looking for a different thickness to Joanne. And I was putting mine onto calico and Joanne was putting hers onto paper. And although it was the same thing, the actual colours were really different. So that was really interesting, yeah. And so I did settle on a colour in the end that I thought was significant to the time we were looking at. So once I'd printed my calico, I was then stenciled over the top with a stencil that again was reminiscent of the time and also of the wrought iron in the windows and that. And I stenciled over the top of it. And I was really pleased with the result, I have to say. I've never done anything really like it before and I got very involved in it. And then I needed to decide how I was going to show it. I didn't want to hang it. I didn't want to put it in a frame. So I sourced a vintage fire screen and actually mounted it in that. And
which then ties back in with
yeah,
the house. It looks
that's
very
right.
Much
yeah.
like it could
yeah.
have been in Hitchin
yeah.
Priory.
That's right, yeah.
Really nice.
So, I've never done anything like this before. Thoroughly enjoyed it and would really take part again.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay. And Joanne, any sort of particularly new things you learned or any challenges along the way that you...
Yes. So, well, alongside Jen, I was the source material for the paints that we were making were my natural dyes. So I was cooking up my natural dyes, and that's what we were experimenting with. I think Jen chose madder, which is quite was quite a common colour, but it would have been imported.
And what colour is that?
It's a red. Or it can come different, you know. The thing about natural dyes is treated in different ways. They can come out different colours, but it generally produces some form of red or browny red or orangey red.
Brilliant. So you're the experts now on natural dyes. Yes. This is fantastic.
So that I was, you know, learning as much as Jan in that stage, adding different things to it, a different medium to make it into a consistency that you could either paint with or stencil with or screen print with. So it's different.
So what were you adding to change the consistency?
So I think the one that we chose in the end was the thing that modern day name for it is Manutex, but it is in fact a seaweed alginate.
So it was a natural.
So everything, we did try a couple of things that weren't natural, but actually it was the natural things. Other things they might have added were things like linseed oil, but that made it too thin. So, and the Manutex is nice because you can actually make it thicker or thinner itself. So, and also we needed something that, when we added it, didn't dilute the colour that we'd created, which we did have a bit of a problem with.
And I done egg white, only to discover that it actually went mouldy. So I'd obviously not done it correctly, but that was quite an interesting find, that you painted it, and then by the time you went back to it, you had like this sort of mauvey blue sheen going across it where it had gone mouldy. So, yeah.
But in fact, they would have had some form of sterilising it, which I hadn't taken into account. But afterwards, we discovered we could use Milton baby sterilising tablets to stop it from moulding. There you go. So.
Brilliant. Thank you. Top tip. And do you have any sort of final reflections on your overall experiences of what's been now a 9-month-long project?
I really loved it. I was really worried that I wouldn't be able to produce a piece with being an abstract artist that was, you know, representational of the time. And when I saw what everyone else had produced, I was like, wow. But from my own personal point of view, I'm really pleased with it. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It took over our lives in a way, didn't it? You know, but it was nice. It was a nice taking over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Joanne?
I mean, it really gave us a focus, which was really good for us. And we'd already decided that we were going to work together most Wednesdays anyway, so that helped us structure that. We kind of miss the whole college thing a bit, you know, so there is something that's helpful to have a project to work on. One of the wonderful things for me, well, several wonderful things. Things I went back to use the things that I really loved, the weaving and more dyeing. I have always dyed, but exploring the dyeing more. But then I ended up going on to, went all the way to Macclesfield one Saturday to do a paint making course that was based on natural dyes. And we discovered actually, Jan and I still need to explore this again further ourselves, but actually there were a bit of the process that we hadn't discovered because we were trying to work, there is no really textbook for it, we were trying to work from old texts of colour. But these people at Foraged Earth Project have actually done so much more work on making paint traditionally. So now I'm much more knowledgeable, and I think we could produce something again using the same methods, but in a more sophisticated now that we know better how it was done.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.